This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good morning, everyone. It's a Saturday and it's sun shining again. So that's 2 weeks in a row like that. So things have gotten in the right direction. I'm Bob Pompiani with Jolie Nelson on the other side of the glass. How are you today, Jolie? How was your 4th of July?
Well, probably one of the more uneventful ones for me. I was just like exhausted throughout the day. Didn't do too much, but so just kind of another day. How was yours, though? Probably better than mine.
I spent most of my day over at Highmark Stadium watching two soccer matches. The Riveters, who were playing without six starters, unfortunately lost to top seed Minnesota, but they won a division in their first year of existence. And then last night, the Riverhounds won on a goal by Robbie Mertz after a steal as they beat a top seed New Mexico team. So, and then we saw fireworks from it. It's a great place to watch fireworks, Jolie. Do you still like fireworks?
Probably not as much as when I was a kid, but, you know, here and there, it's still fun. I mean, really, you only get it once a year, so like...
Yeah, that's the whole thing, unless you go to Pirate games and they have fireworks nights.
But that's right. The
bottom line is it's a big celebration of a big day, and I kind of like the 4th of July being on a Friday to extend a weekend, don't you?
It is pretty fun, yes.
Maybe that should become mandated.
Andrew Filippone thinks so.
I saw that, and I said, Boney's on to something here. Instead of having to, even if the 4th is on a Monday, well, then you extend it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, or if it's in the midweek, you just delay it until Friday. I don't know. It's kind of nice to have 3 days in a row if you're looking for just average people who want to make sure everything's going well and have a nice extended time in the middle of summer. But here we're talking about what's going on here, and there's a lot going on, actually, at 412-928-9370. That is the number to call. It's also the number of the fan text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We'll have the weather forecast coming up a little bit later. It's going to get more humid, though. That's your clue. We got away from that a little bit yesterday, but I think it's returning in the next couple of days. In the meantime, we have some things to talk about, starting with, I know Donnie spent the last 2 hours talking about the Pirates, but, man, they came back to reality in a hurry against Seattle. 6-0. I really had high hopes for that game as it began, just because they were coming off that 6-game win streak, going on the road where they haven't played well. Bailey Falter's been pitching pretty well. And, Seattle's one of those teams up and down. They're second in their division, but I thought the Pirates might make it a game. And in the first inning, they had 2 runs taken off the board on a great play by Randy Arozarena in left field as he robbed O'Neill Cruz, who looked like he was going to dump in a double and score 2 runs. And then right in the bottom of that first inning, a terrible careless error. I guess they gave it to Spencer Horwitz. It was not a good throw by Nick Gonzalez. And he dropped the ball at first base. That allowed a base runner on, and it changed the way I thought Bailey Falter pitched to Cal Raleigh. With 2 outs and nobody on base, you could pitch to him a little bit more carefully. With the runner now on, it changed it a little bit, and he ended up clobbering the first of two home runs. So the Pirates lose 6-0. That guy, Cal Raleigh, has been unbelievable. He has been just hitting the ball consistently all season long. And they go at it again tonight at 10:10. You'll hear it right here on your home for Pirate Baseball, which is 93.7 The Fan. Joey Chestnut was back. I don't know. I always hesitate whether or not to call this a sport because it's not, but it is. It's a hot dog eating contest. But his all-time best was 76. Today in the sports book era, you can bet on just about everything, including how many he could down. And I think the number was 70.5 over and under. And wouldn't you know he ate 70?
These sports books,
they know exactly. How would you gauge that? He had missed a year. I didn't expect him to go 76, which was his personal all-time best, but 70, and the line is 70.5. Do you think down the road someone may say, hey, Joey, you knew what that number was, and you just slowed down at the end? Maybe kind of like a Luis Ortiz.
Get you thinking about that a little bit. Yes.
Gambling. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, that's one of those situations that you a lot of people watch it. I mean, the ratings on it are great. And he blew away the nearest competition, as everyone knew he would. Anyway, I'm not here to talk about that. Of course, if you do, call me, 412-928-9370. This week was headlined by an extension by the Steelers on Omar Khan. He gets a new 3-year contract. And this is a guy who's really put his mark on this roster since he took over in 2022. I mean, a large percentage of the people on the roster have either been acquired for or drafted by Omar Khan, and he continues to shape this offseason. I think it's now 16 or 15 of the 22 starters are brought in by Omar Khan, and this season has been a very busy one, capped by the most recent trade, which was Minkah Fitzpatrick to Miami for Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith. This was after he made a huge trade to get DK Metcalf and sign him to 5 years, $150 million. So he has really reshaped things. Now, they let George Pickens go. They continue to search potentially for a number two, although they seem to be high on both Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson, who was injured all of last year. So it looks to me like they're going to still be in the market for another receiver. They brought in Gabe Davis. Nothing happened there. That doesn't mean it won't. Sometimes you go through training camp and you realize, well, the guys I thought might be good for me are not necessarily looking that way, so I need some depth. I'll go out and get it. But Khan has not been afraid to make moves, and he has certainly relied a lot on Andy Weidel, one of the big people he brought in once he became general manager. And those two in harmony with Mike Tomlin have made some things happen here, and they've changed the roster. Now, so far that hasn't resulted in what has to happen next, because I think when you sign Omar Khan, you're saying, we believe that you'll be able to get us to this next frontier, which is winning a playoff game or two or more, and also developing your next franchise quarterback. This year, with Aaron Rodgers, I don't think there's going to be quite an answer for it, of course. So then the question is, what do they do next year? The one good thing about this offseason has been that they have not compromised any of their picks from next year. They still have 12 draft picks. They are certainly well-positioned to make moves if they have to make moves and move up in a draft if it comes to that. So I think all of these acquisitions are essentially 1 or 2 year deals. That's about it. So they don't hammer you down for the future. You still have opportunities to make things happen. And I imagine next year is going to be one of the more interesting Steeler off seasons ever. We've talked a lot about this season, but man, next year could be even much more interesting when it comes to player movement, player trades, players acquisitions, move up in a draft, and it's all here in Pittsburgh in 2026. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Pittsburgh always looks so nice on camera. We saw that again last night, and when, you know, fireworks night and everybody's in town, it's quite an electric atmosphere, and it's going to be that way next year when the NFL draft comes to Pittsburgh in April of 2026. So we'll get into that. Also, NFL free agent or NHL free agency has been underway. And it's really not been all that much going on. And I think one of the reasons why is because the Florida Panthers have signed all of their big-name free agents. It's amazing what they've done. They've won back-to-back championships, and they have all their key players signed all the way through the year 2030. And you would have thought some of those guys would go for bigger dollars in the free agent open market. Instead, they wanted to be right there in Florida with the Panthers. So all the key guys are back. But next year is going to be interesting. The other thing we saw is Mitch Marner. He was traded before it ever got to be a free agent, so he never got to the open market. But Vegas gave him a big deal. And, you know, we'll see if that's the right, you know, he'll play with Jack Eichel, no doubt, out there in Vegas. But they had money available. They went out and made that deal, and they signed him. What's interesting to me is next year's free agent possibilities in the NHL, starting with Connor McDavid, because until he signs with them, a lot of people are going to wonder, does he really want to? Now, they've been to back-to-back Stanley Cup championships, lost both to the Panthers, but they look like a team that's going to be a player every single year. Is that good enough for Connor McDavid to say, yes, I want to stay here? He has a great relationship, and they play well together with Leon Draisaitl. They got some depth on that team. But how much will it take? I don't even think it's money for him so much. He wants to win championships. He hasn't had. It's not easy to do, and we've seen it with Mary Lemieux and Sidney Crosby. It takes some time. Well, McDavid's getting into the point now where he needs to start having those opportunities. Will it be with Edmonton? That will be the most watched thing in the next 12 months. It may happen before then. It may not. It may go to free agency. The other guy available would be Jack Eichel. And this is all, of course, predicated on the fact that these guys aren't traded in some sort of salary dump, move on, get some picks kind of thing. But Jack Eichel is set to become a free agent at the end of next year. Another guy on that list is Kirill Kaprizov, who's a very talented guy from Minnesota, although they got a ton of money there, and they seem to be motivated to keep him. Martin Necas is a guy who's only 27, could be available. But there's a name out there I like just because of his resume. It's Adrian Kempe. He is set to become a free agent at their next year. He's averaged 35 goals per season with the LA Kings over the last four. He is a scoring machine. So we'll see what happens. One thing about Florida, the only guy who becomes a free agent next year that they may lose is Sergei Bobrovsky. Will he be, he's getting up there in age, but he's been terrific for two Stanley Cup championship teams. They may want to keep him. They may sign him before that. I didn't expect Brad Marchand to get a six-year extension on 837, but he did. So Florida's, they're looking to keep everything together and make this window last as long as they possibly can. They got two. What do you think about them getting three in a row? 412-928-9370 is that number to call. The other thing I want to talk about are domed stadiums, because the Cleveland Browns are going to have one. A lot of people out there, like me, I love outdoor football. I don't want that to change. I don't. I think it's the way football is meant to be played. But I also understand the economics of how things work. When you have a dome stadium, it's amazing how many things you can bring to that venue beyond football. And in this day and age, when concerts are going crazy, you're seeing all this money spent on concerts and anything else that requires an indoor setting. You can make a ton of money if you have a dome stadium. And I think that's part of the reason why the Cleveland Browns have gone in that direction, so they can maximize the use of that venue. But do you like it? I don't. I would rather them play outdoors. That's just to me, it's a big home field advantage to have them out. Not that it's been that much for them, because they haven't won much of anything lately. But the bottom line is I prefer outdoor stadiums. But Cleveland's going to go indoor. Your thoughts at 412-928-9370. And that's about it. Anything else you want to talk about, bring it to the table right here, right now. Let's go to the lines, beginning with Guy in California, who joins us right now. Hello, Guy. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. Well, thanks for taking my call. I know no one wants to talk about hockey, but if I could just...
Well, I just did.
Well, you did. You're one of the most knowledgeable hockey guys in Pittsburgh, for goodness sakes.
Well,
but anyways, if I could just
go ahead,
if I could just do a quick post-mortem on the Penguin season. Now, I hadn't heard anyone in Pittsburgh talk about the ill-fated 2020 Toronto Maple Leafs draft. Okay, why that's important? They had a total of 12 total draft picks. One first rounder who later dies of a brain cancer. Not 5 years later, not a single player has played in the NHL. And who was the GM of that 2020 Toronto Maple Leafs team? It was Kyle Dubas. And hopefully Dubas does better with these 13 picks and three first round draft picks and these other future draft, future draft capital. And if Florida GM Phil Zito calls, I hope Dubas refuses to take his call.
Yeah, Zito's been hot. There's no question about that.
Bill Zito is a wizard. You look at the Florida's team construction, 20 players. Only four players are draft picks on the roster. Barkov, Ekblad, Lundell, and Samuskevich. And they're all first rounders. 10 were waiver claims or free agents. And so, just final point about the Penguins. I mean, the Penguins have got to develop some grit in their game. You know, you knew the Oilers-Dallas series was over when the Oilers D-man, Daniel Nurse, took a cheap shot on the Dallas forward, Roope Hintz. Mm-hmm. And there was a play behind. It was a dirty move behind the play when Nurse took the heel of his stick and broke Hintz's foot. But anyways, there was no pushback. There was no pushback from Dallas. You knew the series was over. And that could have been a very serious injury. He ruptured several veins. And
very cheap shot. You're absolutely right.
And he broke his bone. And if he had ruptured his Dorsal's penis artery, he could have lost, you know, tissue. It could have been a tissue necrosis. Anyways, the Oilers tried that same tough man act in game three against Florida. And if you remember, Florida beat them up, literally.
Florida.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
The thing about them, and you're right about Zito, he can play. Their team can do anything you want them to do. When they acquired Tkachuk for Huberto, that was just a signature move by them. And so everyone that, you know, even their star player, Sam Bennett, can mess it up with you if you want to mess it up with him. Verhaeghe's one of the same kind of guys. They play a physical brand, but they also play a quick transition game. And when they do it, they're very good at it. So,
just to finish up here, if the Penguins ever hope to beat Florida and hopefully a playoff of some sort, they've got to contend with this Anaconda defense that Florida has. What I mean by that is that every Anaconda is a snake, that every time his prey breathes, he suffocates them more, and that's what Florida did. Every time, you know, the Oilers took a breath of hope, Florida squeezed the life out of the Oilers, and they just dominated that series. And I told you earlier that I was, you know, rooting for Florida, where everyone else, especially in the Canada media, was going for the Oilers.
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. And thanks, Guy, for the call. What happens with these 13 draft picks and what Kyle Dubas was able to do? I was glad to see he went from 1 to 3 in the first round. This was not an overly deep draft. And there were some questions about whether or not they reached on a couple of guys. I mean, first of all, they're not going to be around here. You know, Horkoff seems like a very good player, and I'm going to be interested to hear more from him as things go on. Zonin may be a reach, I'm not sure. You know, and Kindle, all I know is what I've seen, what I've read, watch video. That's it. But the bottom line is they're not going to be around on this particular team, and I don't know how many years it will take. But he's loading up. He's got more of those picks next year. I understand what they're trying to do, but you got to hit them. And as you suggested in 2020, that was not a very good draft, despite the fact they had many, many picks in it. Let's go to Sean in Robinson, who joins us right now. Hello, Sean. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Wanted to kind of stay on the subject of Kyle Dubas and the Penguins. You mentioned earlier you were talking about the Steelers and Omar Khan and how you were, you know, pleased with the job he was doing and his willingness to change things up and go, you know, away from the traditional Steelers, how they used to, you know, run their team. I'm curious as how you feel about Kyle Dubas. I think he's doing a decently similar job to the way Omar Khan is running the Steelers. I think we can agree that he was handed a terrible hand from Hextall in terms of cap, farm system, and the overall roster. But like I said, I was just curious to see if you drew the same similarities between Omar and Kyle that I was, or how you felt.
Well, the only thing, Sean, I'll say about this is I think he was trying to walk a one-way street two different ways. He was trying to get to a Stanley Cup playoff, try to be competitive while still feeding and fueling the future. It's hard to do both, and we saw that right off the bat where he signed big contracts to Ryan Graves, to Tristan Jarry. He made a deal for Erik Karlsson, trying to buy into what they had right there and thought that could be good enough to get them into the playoffs. Well, it didn't work, and now you're stuck to those kind of deals, and he's also gone full-fledged the other way now. So you have some guys on your team who are up there in age, and you want to try to keep them together. If you still try to get to the playoffs, which benefits them greatly because of great gate receipts, they need those games. They haven't had them in 3 years now. So, you know, when you have Crosby on your team, you expect to do that. Malkin's last year, you're going to have Letang. Who knows how many more years for him? Karlsson may not be here. I'm going to be watching that very carefully. If he can convince him to drop that no-trade movement clause and make a deal for him in some form or fashion, I think it would be healthy for the team because they have some guys on long-term deals that were designed to help them get to the playoffs the last 2 years, and that hasn't worked. So now they're going the other way. But how do you satisfy both ends of that? It's a difficult thing. So I think it's an incomplete grade, although I do think he has the right idea with all these picks and trying to load up and come up with players because they're going to need to do that in the future after all these guys are gone.
Yeah, I agree. I think at first he was trying to do the impossible, and it's like, all right, let's try to take this average age 40-year-old roster into the playoffs while having absolutely nobody to back them up. So, yeah, I agree that he's definitely changed ship, but I think it's a good change, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I find another interesting – I started this, Sean, with talking about free agents in 2026. I just was looking at the Minnesota roster right now, and it looks like Philip Gustafson will be a free agent. He was the guy the Penguins traded for Derek Brassard originally, and he's really taken on a role. He has been their number one goalie in Minnesota, and I wonder how much money that will cost, and maybe there's a chance for the Penguins to get involved in that conversation next year. Who knows?
Yeah, that'd be there's a lot of big names. Not as far as goaltender, you mentioned also Kempe as a forward. He's just lights out what he can do. There's a lot of interesting possibilities for the Penguins next year.
But first they have to figure out, a different kind of core here beyond the Sidney Crosby years. Although that could still extend for a few more years. But you know what I mean? They're going to have to figure out something beyond that. So we'll see. But thanks, Sean. I appreciate the call at 412-928-9370. Mike is on the road, and now he's on the Fan. Hello, Mike. What's going on this July 5th?
Hey, Rob. Yeah, last show, Donnie was talking a little bit about prospects for the Pirates and bringing up Connor Griffin at some point, not this year, maybe like next year or the year after. And I just wanted to point out, if you look at Henry Davis, who's obviously been very disappointing, you know, for the Pirates, but if you look at his AAA numbers, they would be phenomenal at the major league level. I mean, he was I forget what his OPS is, but it would be like one of the best OPS in all of Major League Baseball, hitting lots of home runs, hitting for power. And to me, like, baseball is the ultimate domino effect kind of sport. And so I think a lot of the problem is when you bring up a guy and you don't have, you have like one or two other decent hitters, then there's too much pressure on that one guy. He's never going to see fastballs, and they start off bad and they get worse. So, you know, if and when they bring up a guy like Connor Griffin, they just need four or five other proven hitters. I mean, you know, they don't have to be all-stars, but it, you know, if you bring up a young guy with a terrible team, it just sets them up for failure.
No, I hear that, but I mean, he only has four home runs. He's batting under 200 this year. I expect more from him. His defense has gotten better. And the problem that I see here is that they're going to try to maybe time all these things together. Connor Griffin, when he's going to be here, Paul Skenes, how long he'll be here, Bubba Chandler, when he gets here, will Jared Jones get back? It's going to be hard to put them all together at the same time for a long extended period, right? And before the money starts becoming too overwhelming, and until, you know, Bob Nutting shows me that he's interested in doing that kind of stuff as opposed to putting profit over the production of winning, and Paul Skenes eventually is not, how many years is Paul Skenes going to be here? And he's the centerpiece of this whole thing, I think. So
right, and that's my point, is you need like a critical mass of four or five good hitters before one guy is going to make a difference. And the other thing I wanted to quickly mention is he was talking about who they could trade, especially with the relievers. And one thing that the Pirates of the 2010, 2011, 2012, 13, 14, 15, and the Pirates of Jim Leland, 88, 89, 99, and 192, is they all would produce a good closer, then trade the closer while they were grooming a guy who would replace him. And it seemed like they just have one good closer after another after another. Nobody stuck around for more than 2 years, but they were always trading them for some additional talent while also staying staying competitive.
Right.
And I hope the Pirates do that now. Like, don't trade the entire bullpen. Trade Bednar, but hopefully one of the other guys steps up and is the next Bednar.
Yeah, they have guys. Thanks for the call, Mike. They have guys like Majinski. You know, Santana's been good in that role. I don't know if that extends beyond what we've seen, but they're trying to find more offense. Regardless of this 43-4, six game winning streak you saw, that's a huge run differential. But yet they're still, what are they, minus? I know they've been minus all year, and they're probably still very minus. That goes to show you how this game has gone. So batting is still a very big part of this, and they need more bats. They don't have them right now. They have some on the horizon, but when is that horizon? 412-928-9370. That's the number to call. We'll be here to 1 o'clock today. And then it's Josh Rountree after us. And then what happens after that? I'm spitballing here now, TBD. And then later tonight, though, Paul Alexander will have the North Shore Tavern leadoff show, followed by the Pirates and the Mariners in game two of their series. That's a 10-10 start right here on 93.7 The Fan. We'll take a break, get more of your calls. They're open right now at 412-928-9370. Call with anything you want to talk about in the world of sports right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Saturday, July 5th. We're on the other side of the 4th of July, which means training camp for the Steelers is just around the corner. Hard to believe, but we'll get into this in what should be a very interesting and entertaining season. Meanwhile, the Pirates are in Seattle, day two of their series with the Mariners. It's a long time before you see the Pirates back here at PNC Park. They got 16 days away from home. And do you like Wimbledon, Joel? Because I really do. I watch some of these tennis matches, and I know that we don't talk about it an awful lot, but I'm just absolutely in amazement of some of these matches when Sinner and Alcaraz went at it. What was that? Almost 6 hours?
Yeah, something
it was
unbelievable. Weeks ago.
So you are a fan?
I would. It's something I want to start getting into more, I would say. That and watching more pickleball matches, I would say. But
how about playing pickleball?
I love it.
You do play it?
It is fun. Yeah, I'll play a couple times a month. It's super fun. Because I'll treat it like tennis. If I'm playing my good friend 1v1, we're going to be like Federer and Nadal out there. One of those classic matches. We'll treat it like it's Wimbledon or something. A lot of fun. Tennis, like the courts, it's a lot of space. pretty big.
Yeah, it's
pickleball, it's just right.
Which is why I think an older population can get into it more. You don't have to cover as much ground. So, yeah, I'm going to be anxious to do that. 412-928-9370, that's going on right now. And Sinner made quick work this morning, by the way, or this afternoon over there in Wimbledon. What's going on? He's a tough player right now. I don't know how many people. Maybe it's going to be Djokovic this year. He's a 6th seed, I believe, but we'll see what happens there. In the meantime, we have open calls all the way to 1 o'clock. We're talking about anything Steelers-related, Pirates-related, you name it, we'll get into it at 412-928-9370. Even some Penguin talk early this morning about Kyle Dubas, what he's done, what they need to do more of, and next year's free agent class, which has a lot of big names in it. Let's go out to Brad on the North Shore. What's up, Brad? How are you?
Hey, Pomp. How are you doing?
Good. What's going on?
So you brought up earlier about the domed stadium in Cleveland, and I actually wanted to talk about that a bit. I feel like it takes the soul out of a lot of the football games. Like, an example is I went up to the Steelers-Bills wildcard game last year after that winter storm where they pushed back to Monday.
Yeah.
And that was one of the best experiences I ever had at a football game. Like, yeah, I had to wear 3 layers of clothes. My beer turned in icy whenever I got to my seat. But that just that's part of it. Like, there's certain cities where the environment should be a factor in playing the game. When you play in a dome, that takes all of that away. Like, you don't have snow, you don't have wind. I understand that it's evening the playing field. Some people made an argument that cold weather cities are trying to make a bid for the Super Bowl.
Sure.
But I think some cities just don't have the infrastructure for that. That's how I feel about it. Like,
well, you understand why they would do it, right? And I remember going, were you by any chance at the Super Bowl in Detroit, Ford Field, when the Steelers played there, Super Bowl 40?
No, I wasn't there.
Okay. Well, you saw the game, and obviously you know that it was a bad weather weekend. There was a lot of snow that came down the night before. And obviously they don't want those conditions to be there for a Super Bowl, where I get that. I was talking, though, to a lot of people in Detroit who used to be cold weather fans. And say they got comfortable with the use of a dome because they knew what they were getting into. They never had to worry about that stuff. Now, I understand what you just said, and I agree. When you go to some of those games, and some of the ones, the Bettis Chicago Bears Urlacher game back here when they went on their run before they even got to that, that was a snowy day, and it was just meant for a tremendous atmosphere. I love that kind of stuff. But in this day and age where money is king of everything, the money they're going to generate in that stadium for other things other than football is remarkable. I looked at a list the other day, and it opens up so much money for that city. And economic development, economic opportunity is driving most of it.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like concerts.
Everything.
Like Monster Jam.
You can put anything in those buildings, and that's what they're trying to do, I suppose. But it does compromise what once was a staple, which is Cleveland Browns playing outdoors on the lake and getting weather. It makes for great storytelling, and I love it. But things are changing, so I don't think there's much you can do. I think people up there will probably, most of them, I guarantee if you talk about it, they'll say, we like cold weather. We want to be sitting out in it. This is part of the dog pound, all this stuff. But yet, in the end of the day, they'll go in there and they'll adapt. That's what people do.
So do you think a smaller city with a domed stadium would have the infrastructure to hold the Super Bowl?
Specifically, you're talking about Cleveland?
Like Cleveland, if they opened up let's just theoretically say they had a dome stadium in like Kansas City.
You know, I'm sure there's a way to do it. I remember in Detroit, we had to stay almost an hour away and used hotels that were not even close to there. If you look at the DMA, the entire area, how much do you have to draw? Like, look at for example, the NFL draft coming to Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah.
What infrastructure do you need to hold a million people that may be coming here? They have it. If you extend as far up, you know, Cranberry, you go down into any hotel that's available. I don't know how many there are, and I got to believe that you have to extend beyond the city, obviously, what you're able to do and what you can supply. I don't know how much Cleveland has out there in terms of how far they can go with, hotel arrangements and things of that nature, but who knows? Maybe that's part of their plan as well. I mean, we've seen Minnesota host one. We've seen New York. Now, that's a big one, but not many people thought they'd do it in an outdoor stadium, but they did. So I think it's going to be so for the record, though, you don't want to see it. If it were you, you'd like to remain as is.
I'd like it to still be in, like, the bigger cities. Like, I get Detroit because that is, like, a very big, populous city. I did enjoy the Super Bowl in New York, but I do kind of see why they – only had like a one Super Bowl there because of the cold weather. Again, it's just a matter of like big city versus small city,
right?
For such a big event.
But I think bottom line is all cha-ching, cha-ching. It's all money and how much they can bring into that economy. Thanks, Brad. Appreciate the call from the north side. Let's go to Gary in Gibsonia joining us right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Gary, what's up?
How you doing? Hey, two quick points I was going to bring up to you is that, you know, I read an article by Joe in the Post-Gazette about nutting again and how he's going to make changes supposedly with the new contract coming up for the MLB players. But, you know, one thing I was wondering is why can't they – they're not going to change anything, number one. And number two is if they don't change things, it's going to be the same old, same old. So why can't they even entertain the idea of being able to take the draft picks, like a number one, for instance, for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they could trade that off like they do for the other sports, whether it be football or basketball, hockey, any of those sports, they could actually do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly something that potentially could be on the table. You know, I do think there's going to be trouble at the end of this 2026, end of next year when this thing expires. You don't? You think it's going to be smooth and everybody just cave and continue doing what they're doing? Is that what you're saying, Gary?
Well, I think it's a complete chaos and it's a knife in the back of it, basically MLB. But they're making so much money that they just are going to continue this. And the problem is, all these teams like the Pirates, et cetera, are going to continue to be a spot for the big teams to just pick and choose the players they want off us. Like Skeens will be the next one, and we know that this is what's going to happen, and that's unfortunate that this is what you get somebody for 6 years and you can only use them for four, and that
or
makes
less.
No sense.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that is a problem, but it will take owners to step up against some of the and take the smaller owners to step up against the ones that have all the money, you know, and make some sort of and it also takes players' association. I don't think they want anything to be changed because they just got off a season where they saw, contracts go through the roof in terms of overall monies, you know. And when you have $700 million for one player over the course of 15 years, like they do with Juan Soto, you think players want to stop that from happening? And if you do adopt a salary cap, most likely those kind of deals will never happen again. Not to say that everyone gets them, but my point is that if you're a player who doesn't play a lot, you know, you would want them to have a salary cap on the floor, because I think the bottom line is it's going to force them to spend more, the teams that don't.
Well, I agree. No, I'm agreeing 100% with you. Second quick point on this with the Keller thing where everybody keeps on saying trade him, trade him, trade him. I really think, first of all, a lot of these young ones they have are unproven. I mean, again, they look great, but a full season, let's see how they look. And the second part of it is that the cost for a number three, which is what Keller basically is astronomical. And to think the kind of a contract that Keller signed with the Pirates is just such a friendly contract for our team. I just don't get it. He's 29 years old. The best years are ahead, the next 2-3 years, and people are screaming about trading him. I think it's insane because you got a known commodity versus an unknown one.
And just remember back, Gary, to when Mitch Keller first came up here. It took him a while to figure out how to do this. You know, it wasn't a slam dunk thing. It took many years. And the thing about him, like Ryan Reynolds, and like I'll even throw Key Brian Hayes into this, even though I think, he's a guy I'd like to move on from if I could. They have years left. Reynolds has 5 years left at a salary that's very, very franchise friendly. Keller has three left, same situation. Now, that bodes well if you're trying to move him, because teams that will get him know that they have that guy signed for 3 and 5 more years. So you should be able to get more if you're looking to move any of those kind of guys. But then the flip side of that is, on your team that you don't have any offense, you're going to trade one of your best offensive weapons for what? You know, it just depends on the return and what Ben Cherington, who will be tested to come up with these magical potions here, what he does at this deadline will define, I think, what happens with his career after this year.
Bob, I've changed my mind on Hayes. I was in the camp of yours and everybody's forever. I've just changed it. I mean, I look at with a pitching staff, the one thing that you want is good defense. And what they need to do is get the bat, a home run bat, either at short, second, or first. But when you have a third baseman that can save up to 7 to 10 games a year for the pitchers, and some plays he makes are just spectacular. He can't hit, and that's the reality. He's like a shortstop at third base, but you're not going to find a glove as good as him that could save as many runs. I think it's crazy now.
On a team that doesn't have any hitting, though, he's a problem. On a team that has, as you suggest, then he is not a problem. He's somebody that you can certainly live with. Gary, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. 2026, what happens? I do think it'll get ugly at some point of these contentious negotiations with the players and the owners and the CBA. Mike in Jacksonville, Florida, site of our first preseason game coming up on August the 9th. What's up, Mike? How are you?
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Good.
Thank you for taking the call.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was listening a couple days ago when after Omar signed his contract, and everybody was saying that some of the best things he's done so far, but nobody mentioned the fact that he traded Kenny Pickett to the Eagles along with a fourth round pick and got a third round and 2 7th round picks. I mean, to me, you got 3 players for 2. That's probably one of his better ones.
And it's interesting to note that he did not draft Kenny Pickett. So, so that was not his pick. But all I'll say about Omar more than anything else, he knows money, number one. That's what he did here since 2001. So he's shrewd about these kind of things. He relies a lot on Andy Weidel with some of the personnel decisions. In fact, most of them, I would think. But he's not shy about making deals. If he sees something's not working, he'll move on from it. And that includes, they signed Deontay Johnson. They then get rid of him. George Pickens was a pick. They got rid of him. You wouldn't have expected that the way the Steelers normally do. They wait on guys. But in this case, they didn't do it. So, again, for me, Mike, the next thing going on is he has to get them into the playoffs and win, and they have to figure out who's their next franchise quarterback. In the next 3 years, since his contract is 3, those are the 2 things he has to hit on.
So you mentioned that. My quick question now is, do you think that was more Colbert or Rooney?
What?
Who would make the trades and moves that Omar has been making so far?
Oh, I'm Kevin Colbert had a distinguished career in what he did. I'm not sure how. I do believe they're in this. They say it all the time, and I believe it. When they get in these rooms, they have conversations, and there's some push and pull, and Tomlin has a big say in it. Make no mistake about it. So, whoever the final decision is, I think it is a group effort, but they bring different things to the table and discuss. So I don't know how to accurately credit on specific deals, who makes what, and who's the biggest say in that room, but I think they all come to a conclusion at the end of it.
Well, Bob, thank you for your time. You have yourself a great day.
All right, Mike, you do the same. Appreciate it. Let's go to Dante and Swickley before we take a break. Hello, Dante. What's going on?
Hey, Bob. How are you doing today? Good to hear you.
Just wonderful.
I wanted to ask you about something you guys were talking about on the radio earlier this week. You mentioned you were, I guess a few different interview encounters that occurred. One with Lawrence Taylor after a game in New York.
No, it wasn't after a game. With me, it was the week leading up to a game.
Okay. And you asked him a question. He slapped your hand.
Well, slap meaning he pushed my hand away. Like get out of my face kind of thing.
And then they escorted you out.
Well, yes, because that's not my locker room and they're going to protect him at all. Not that he needed to be protected. The point is, all I said back was, hey, you didn't have to do that. I just asked you a question. I had no idea. He had this like on again, off again when he talked. I don't even know when it was, but being someone who didn't cover that team, I wasn't sure. All I knew is it was an open locker room. I went right to his stall. That's all.
Right. It just bothers me that he's allowed to do that, basically kind of push you around or threaten you.
Well, he didn't do any of that. He just, all he did was like shush me away, but he hit my hand in doing so. So it wasn't like that.
He physically touched you, though, which is kind of going over the line.
Well, whatever. I never looked at it that way. All I said was, can I talk to you for 5 seconds about the Steelers? That's all I said.
Yeah.
So, whatever. It's a whatever goes on in that locker room goes on in that locker room. I just, I'm pretty easy to deal with. If you didn't want to talk, all you had to do is tell me no, and that's fine with me. If you don't talk, you don't talk.
It sounds like you were pretty patient about it, but there was another one that I don't know if you talked about. I remember there was some kind of staring contest with James Harrison.
Well, that was all fun. That was James Harrison had won the blinking contest in there, and he had a WWE belt, right? And so I was curious, how long he took. He did not blink for like a minute and 45 seconds or something of that nature. So I said, oh, I wonder how I would do. And immediately he just yells, Bob Pompieri wants to take on me and is blinking. And I said, oh, no, that's not what I said. I just asked the question, how long ago? So he forced me to do it, which was a fun thing. We turned out to do a story on KDK TV about it. And then he had advice for me afterwards, because I went in there a little bit intimidated, looking at an NFL Defensive Player of the Year at the time. And my eyes were wide open. And if you're ever going to win a staring contest, do not keep your eyes wide open. You almost have to keep them somewhat shut, like you're squinting a little bit, just because the lids of the eye. And I was just more or less intimidated there, and I lasted for like 22 seconds, and that was it.
Well, the thing that was funny about it is you guys put it on TV.
Yeah.
Go back and look at the clip. There was a naked guy facing the other way, but there was a naked guy on the clip. You put it on TV. And I don't know if this was 5 years ago.
No, it was a long time ago.
I don't know if anybody even noticed, but I remember watching that, and nobody recognized. There's a naked guy standing there. Did you ever pick up on that?
No, I never knew that. But I mean, when you go into a locker room, you're going to see naked guys. That's how that works. We're not supposed to let it go. I know that, but sometimes, you know. It must not have been that obvious. You must have been looking hard at it. I would never have known. I've looked at that thing 100 times.
Well, it wasn't like, you know, the camera wasn't stuck there. It kind of just like passed over.
It was like an accident. I mean, we were doing what we were doing, and that's part of it, unfortunately, or fortunately,
right,
whatever.
Right.
All right, Dante.
All right, my friend. There's
a lot of stuff like that. And believe me, in our days of doing this, we've had to go back and, you know, just kind of phase out some of that stuff, because you got to be aware of everything in the locker room. And I don't remember that now. I'd have to go back and look on, I don't know if it's on YouTube or whatever, but got to find it. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. We will take more calls here up until 1 o'clock. So if you have something you'd like to talk about, please do. It could be the state of the Steelers, state of the Penguins, Pirates, what they do with the trade deadline, you name it, we talk about it. We'll be back with more of that and your phone calls at 412-928-9370 next, right here on the Bob Pompieri Show. And it's time to take a look at fan weather, which is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Solutions. Temperatures expected in the low 90s today. Also, humidity will be on the rise, so stay hydrated out there. And this is something that weather trend-wise will extend into Sunday and Monday as well. Temperatures near 90 both of those days. 412-928-9370. Got our man Anthony on the line. He joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Anthony. How are you?
Thank you, Bob. I hope you had a wonderful Independence Day.
You too. Thanks.
Bob, I came in a little late, and I heard you say, someone say about a player who knocked your hand away. I didn't get the player.
No, it was a long time ago. It was Lawrence Taylor in the Giants locker room. We were going up there to do something in advance of a Steelers-Giants game, and all it was me not knowing that he had a certain day that he speaks, and the day I was there was not his day to speak. So I went up to extend my hand just to shake his hand and say, hey, can I have 5 minutes with you? And he kind of shushed it away, and I don't talk. I said, okay, fine. I don't care.
No, that's not unusual, unfortunately, being in a lot of locker rooms over the years. You've seen.
No, this came up last week. I don't know why we got into this topic, but Joe brought it up somehow, some way. We're talking about uncomfortable moments in locker rooms. So,
hey, you know what, Bob? Here's what I'm interested in seeing with this new Steeler team that's coming up. It's transformed from last year, especially at the quarterback position. What was wrong with what happened in Cincinnati where they put up 40-something points, the highest total they had in 5 years? How did that become an issue between the quarterback and the offensive coordinator to where we never saw that offense again? I know that's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers because he says he's never going to allow you people to dictate to him like they did Wilson at the end there. But I'm just curious, what was that about that game that someone didn't like?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Cincinnati's defense was bad all year, except when they played the Steelers at home at the end of the year, and then the Steeler offense did nothing, but that was all play calling, I thought. They ran the ball right into a wall most of that game. So you're right. From that game to that game, there was a massive difference in how they approached what was going on. There was a lot to like in that Cincinnati game. I remember talking about it after the game with Chris Hoke. I thought, man, this is maybe the beginning of some high-flying offense they're going to see down the field, and then it really never happened all that much after it.
And that's what I found more disturbing, because they were looking more like what we were seeing around the NFL from Cincinnati and Baltimore and the Chargers. I mean, this is what we were seeing. I thought it was a thing of beauty the way they went up. Remember, they were down by 7, and it didn't matter. They exploded. And I couldn't figure out. Then I kept hearing about, well, Arthur Smith didn't want him to audibleize. That's why I try to reassure my friends and my sons when we talk about this year. So, well, that's never going to happen with Aaron Rodgers. I'm telling them that, right? It doesn't matter what comes from the sideline. If Rodgers wants to change, he's going to change it. Period.
Right.
So
I mean,
that's a good thing.
That is. And I'm sure even before it comes to that, though, I got to think that Arthur Smith is dealing with a guy who's a 4-time NFL MVP. He's going to go to him. They're going to figure out ways and just say, what do you like? What are you comfortable with? We'll try to put into this playbook what makes you happy. To me, why? Right. If you're going to bring him here, that's what you need to do.
Yeah, so I'm curious with that end. Outside of everything else, what I see is, excuse me, I'm coming over off a cold, a team that this is 1 year. This is it. We got to go for the gusto because next year there's going to be a multitude of changes. They have tons of picks. Even if Will Howard pans out, who I think may pan out, you're still going to need wide receivers. You're still going to need young corners. You're going to have to get younger. And I think that's why they're loading up now, because they know they're going to get younger and they got the picks to do it. So, right, you know, go for the gusto.
Well, and that's why I applaud this movement this year, because you knew that they don't have their future quarterback necessarily on their roster. They might, as you mentioned. I'm not going to underestimate the fact that Will Howard could turn out to be that person. However, that's not something that most people are looking at realistically at this point. So that means next year will be a whole different approach. And Omar Khan, you know, he's bold in his approach. He put his stamp on the roster. He's been active in trade markets. He's also traded guys who've been around for a long time, like Minkah Fitzpatrick and that deal. I didn't see that one coming. The DK Metcalf one was out of the blue as well. So it's a totally different kind of approach that he's trying to – and Metcalf's going to be here for 5 years. Whoever the next guy is at quarterback will benefit from having a guy like that, I would think. And I don't know, did you like that trade, and including Jonnu Smith?
Oh, yeah, I love Jonnu Smith. I mean, he's what you need. But don't be surprised, because coming out of Green Bay, it's coming down to Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs. Romeo Doubs is on the outs out there because he got suspended last year for insubordination. And it looks like one of those guys is going to be gone. I take Romeo Doubs at a hot second. Now you're loaded for bear.
Yeah, I don't think he's done yet. And that's the thing about Khan. He sneaks around when you least expect it. Welcome back to hour number two here on a beautiful Saturday in Pittsburgh. Bob Pompeiani is my name, here with you until 1 o'clock. Check us out tomorrow night on the number one Cochrane Sports Showdown, KDKA-TV. That begins every night at 11:35. And tomorrow on the program, we'll have Chris Muller along with Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette and Will Graves of the Associated Press. So that's tomorrow, 11:35, KDKA. Go one better, ride in style with number one Cochrane, one of our longtime sponsors here. Thanks to the Cochrane dealerships, and there are many around. Also, thank you to PNC Bank. Make today the day. And check out their virtual wallet, PNC.com. Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. Those guys know how to get it done. They got your back, not your wallet. The Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Have the weather coming up a little bit later, but it's going to spice up a little bit with the humidity temperatures. So I want to talk a little bit about the Pirates coming up on their trade deadline. We spent some time here in the first hour talking about Kyle Dubas, what the job he's done so far. Omar Khan, new extension, ties him up with Mike Tomlin for at least the next 3 years. But now I want to talk about what Ben Cherington has at stake here at this trade deadline, because the Pirates are still what they are, which is a last place team, despite what we saw with that 6-game homestand where they outscored opponents 43-4. They're still in last place, and they still have issues when it comes to hitting the baseball consistently, driving in runs, and power. On paper, it appears they have a surplus of pitching, but that's on paper because we don't know about a lot of things yet. First of all, there are injuries that always come into play. So you have people like Bubba Chandler. We all think we know what we're going to get when he gets up here, but you never know. He struggled of late, so he's still not up here. You have Brandon Ashcraft, who's looked good when he's gotten in there. Mike Burrow's on the hill tonight in Seattle. He's promising. You have also other guys, Jared Jones coming back from an injury, certainly. And there are others down deeper in the minor league organization. So, again, on paper, you surplus of pitching, it seems. But, you know, that's it's good, and but it's also bad. Because if you trade some of it away, then that surplus becomes not as deep. And one or two injuries, and you're stuck in the same situation. However, you do have guys you can move and guys you should be able to get in return. My question to you is, you call here at 412-928-9370. Who would you want to see the Pirates trade, and what do you think the return might be on some of these players? We saw a report from Ken Rosenthal that said that Kansas City might be interested in Brian Reynolds, but again, they're a hitting deficient team. They need Brian Reynolds right now. He's signed for 5 more years at a very good price. I don't know if I'd be willing to move him. Mitch Keller also signed for 3 more years. He's a rock solid piece of their starting rotation. Don't take that for granted. It can help you, but at the same time, they need bats. Does he become expendable? 412-928-9370. Let's go out to Rick in Madison, Wisconsin, who joins us right now. Hello, Rick. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Bob. Thanks
good
for taking my call.
Yes, sir. What's up?
Hey, I wanted to piggyback on what Anthony, I really respect Anthony and his viewpoints. I wanted to kind of talk about what Anthony spoke on about that Cincinnati game. To me, being a Steeler fan for all these years, it seems like Mike Tomlin seems to tailor his games so they're all these heart attack games that come down to the last second, come down to the last possession. And that was one of the few games, that Cincinnati game, where it was quite comfortable.
You like comfortable games once in a while, right? You want to see a blowout here and there. It's good for the soul.
Absolutely. And I know he's always saying, hey, we want to be comfortable with, you know, being uncomfortable. But it seems like, to me, it seems like he likes those heart attack games, those games that really take a lot of emotional energy out of the players and the fans, for that point. What do you have to say about that? I mean, I thought that was one of the greatest games offensively that they've had in it's quite some time. Didn't they have 500 yards worth of offense that day?
Yeah, and Russell Wilson was on it, man. He was. I think it comes down to where Mike Tomlin, prefers a style of play that is, you know, heavy possession time on offense if he can do it, with the ability to, you know, to do some things when you get close to the goal line. But that hasn't really happened consistently because of their slow starts. All you have to do is look at first quarters of their games. But he doesn't want turnovers. He preaches that all the time, and most coaches do as well. However, every now and then you take some risks that would result potentially in a turnover. I'm not for me, that's fine. I mean, every now and then there's going to be a turnover. I'm more interested in the reward that comes from a big play potential as opposed to the risk.
Right.
But I think he, you know, his style of play is and it's consistent with what the Steelers like to run the football as efficiently as you can. And if you can, it should open up other things. Now, the problem is they haven't run it all that efficiently over the last 3 years. If you look at where they've ended the season, it hasn't worked that way. Ideally, right. You'd like a team like that. The good teams in the NFL, Rick, in my opinion, still run it really well and heavy. The Philadelphia right. Eagles do that. Look at Baltimore Ravens. They do that. Look at the right. Buffalo Bills. They want to do that. Everybody wants to do it. It's a matter of if you do it, do you have the people and the weaponry to cash in down the field on play action?
One last thing, Bob, on that point, and going along with the general manager, can you remind me the circumstances where we lost James Conner? Because I see him in Arizona.
Yeah, they just
and,
they didn't
my goodness, he's just. I would love to have that type of heart and that kind of. You know, how did it? What did we get in return?
It was just a money deal. I don't think it was anything other than they didn't want to meet him on his demands, if I recall. But he's been terrific out there, and he just got a new deal as well. And he's a touchdown machine. Every time they get into the red zone, he's one of those guys who gets the ball a lot.
Yeah, we could have really used him, and maybe not have to draft Najee. But hey, so hopefully this season will be a lot better. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate that call at 412-928-9370. I'll just take a look here a little bit at James Conner's numbers because I know they are good, and I just saw him recently. He was in town for Stanley Marks. Annual dinner, and boy, that's a great event, and he's a big part of it because he's been a cancer survivor. Let's take a look at these numbers here because, all right, so last year, 236 rushes, 1,100 yards, 4.6, and 8 touchdowns. In his career, he has 59 career touchdowns. So he's been very, very good at what he's been able to do. If you look further back, in his last two seasons in Arizona, both over 1,000 yards, both 8 touchdowns. And before that, he had a 15-touchdown season. That's the first year he left Pittsburgh and went there. So he went from 6 touchdowns with the Steelers to 15. I mean, they ran him hard. He didn't have that many yards at 752, but he had, you know, in the red zone, he got a lot of calls, and he made it work. He has that ability to do, and I just think it was a money issue, actually. So, you know, Najee Harris is here, now he's not, and they got a new running back. And I'm excited about Caleb Johnson. I think he's going to be a good player for them. To compliment Jaylen Warren, who I saw video today, was out in Maui running in the beach. He's been really working hard, Jaylen Warren. I'll give him credit. He's one of those guys, and I love this attitude. When you get undrafted guys or guys who are lesser-known 6th, 7th-round picks, they know nothing is handed to them. They know nothing is given to them. It all must be earned. And I love that attitude, as opposed to where we see some first-round picks who come in high and mighty and think, well, no matter what, I'm a first-round pick, I'll be here. And I think that's the wrong thing you have to say to yourself. It's maybe a subconscious thing. Maybe don't think that way outwardly, but they feel it. I'm a number one pick. I can do this. Well, guys like Jaylen Warren have earned their stripes, and he's not taking it for granted as he continues to work out hard. Let's go to Steve in Collier Township. Steve, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Bob, good morning. How you doing?
Doing good, thanks. What's up?
I was going to change subject to the Buccos, if that works for you.
Yeah, it's open season with me. Whatever you want to go is fine.
So I was going to talk about a colleague of yours' tweet from yesterday. He said that the Buccos should trade Bednar and Santana for a Phillies top prospect in AAA that's batting .341. I think that's the most ridiculous thing you could possibly ever do in the world. I think Bednar is at his top right now, and I think you should keep him around. If you trade him off, Skeens is going to say, what are we doing here? And then Santana, he's unbelievable as well. So I don't know why we would want to trade for a AAA prospect.
Because he's a bat who's hitting .341. I know, but if they don't have him in their system, they got to find him somewhere. You know, and
how has that worked out in the past for us, Bob?
Well, again, it's Ben Cherington has to make the right calls here. I mean, I'm listen, I understand there have been shortcomings on deals. Most of the deals he's made has not brought in the kind of return. On paper, when it was first happened, people were talking about where these guys are ranked based on Baseball America. Oh, this guy is going to be this ranked, and then it never works out. So you have to be a guy who's in AAA 341. He must have some. But then again, we've seen him come to the majors and not have the same kind of numbers. We've seen that with Henry Davis. So
exactly. I just don't trust the process.
Well, that's going to be the question. Do you trust Ben Cherington to make the kind of deals necessary? And who would you make available? Who of this team? You got to make somebody available. They need help.
I completely agree. I don't know. I think that's two good arms for a bat. That's in question is my point.
Well, Bednar has had his ups and downs in the beginning of the season. Give him credit. He's coming right strong back right now. But at the same time, if you're going to be a last-place team, you can find some other people to close games as well if you can supply yourself with hitters that they desperately need. So you have to give to get. You can't always protect everybody. So I'm going to make you the GM, Steve. You tell me which players would – and what would you expect, let's say, from Mitch Keller? What would you expect if you – I suppose you want to keep him, right? My indication from
I would love to keep Mitch, but I he's probably the one I would deal for a top notch, not a top notch, but a decent on the road major league bat.
Why not a top notch? When you say top notch,
they're not going to pay for a top notch. They're not going to get it.
Well, describe top notch. I'm not talking about Juan Soto's. I'm not talking about Aaron Judge's.
I don't know. Brandon Marsh potentially, like someone around there.
All right. I wish they had Rooker from Oakland last year. There was talk that he was available. I would have gone after him.
I said that yesterday. You read my mind, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, and I think he has 18 or 19 home runs again this year. So he's one of those guys, younger, has a bat. I don't care about his defense. If you could hit 25 to 30 home runs, they need more of that.
Do you think the A's would do Mitch for Rooker straight up?
I think the A's have a lot of problems. I think a team that's going to look at Mitch Keller is a team that needs pitching help right now, who've had injuries. Mets come to mind, and he's done well against the Mets. The Mets have, and they're more than willing to give you players. Most of them in your farm system, but you have to make sure that they turn out to be the right player. If they have these injuries, they continue, and they're battling the Phillies for first place, that's a team. I would look for teams that absolutely need pitching help who are contending right now.
No, I completely agree with you, Bob. I don't think that we should give up two of our best bullpen arms for a prospect. I get he's batting 341, but I don't think that's the best move.
All right, Steve, thanks. We'll see. It's coming up at the end of this month. Appreciate the call. Let's go out to Mark in Greentree, right here where we're located. What's up, Mark? How are you?
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Hey, congratulations on your family and everybody. It's a good Italian family like ours, and love everything that you do.
Well, thank you. We're very proud of them, and we were all with them again last night. We try to spend as much time as possible.
It's just, seeing stuff like that, the photos and the happiness and everything. It's kind of, I don't know, hopefully it goes with all families, but.
Yeah, that's how it should be. And quite frankly, that would solve a lot of the problems we have, I think, in society today. Family first.
People always say what happened. I mean, that was the way it was 30 years ago. People did those kind of things, but sadly that's gone. Couple of things. I want to talk about Dubas, but first, you get people calling to talk about that Steelers-Cincinnati game. If you remember, the Steelers won a game in Cincinnati 42-38. So the Bengals scored a boatload of points.
Yeah, it was one of those kind of games, yes.
And then the Bengal game was the last game of the year. So everybody wants to blame Arthur Smith. Nothing on this team happens without Tomlin making the call. And the games that led up to the Cincinnati game, which was the last game of the season, they got routed by Philadelphia. They got routed by Baltimore. They just got pulverized, and I just don't think that Tomlin trusted his defense to get into a shootout again.
Yeah, but that's the problem, because their defense has been the highest component of their team paid for the last 3 years, and will be again this year. And we haven't even talked about T.J. Watt yet, what it means that. And that's supposed to be the strength, and it should be the strength. You should expect that to be a top five defense.
You should expect it, but when you get pulverized like they did, like Philadelphia. What did they do? They held the ball for the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, they never got the ball back.
Never. So I just think that Tomlin, and I agree with you. I mean, you're going to pay that side of the ball a gazillion dollars. You would expect them to stop somebody. But I just think Tomlin told Smith, do not let Cincinnati touch the ball more than necessary. And Cincinnati, saw it. And they just stacked the front. And they just weren't going to let Wilson or anybody throw the ball.
Yeah, it was in stark contrast to that first game. It was 44-38, yeah. And there were tons of yards everywhere you looked from both Wilson, who went over 400, Burrow went over 300. Everyone had big days. And then the next game they played, it was complete opposite of that. Maybe that was by design, and I hope that wasn't the case, because I think you got to trust those guys, and you also have to trust that offense a little bit more than just running the ball straight ahead all the time.
Oh, I agree, but I just want people to stop putting the blame on the Arthur Smiths and Terrell Austin's, although I don't know that Austin's a great defensive coordinator, but nothing happens with that football team without Tomlin calling all the shots, every shot. It's all Tomlin.
I think he has a bunch of control, and, you know, 19 years in the league, that's what you get from that. And the Steelers put their coach at a very high pedestal with these kind of decisions, I'm sure. Mark, thanks. Make it quick.
Okay. I think Dubas has done a terrible job. I wanted Matthew Darsh to be the general manager when the time came up. He had come from a winning organization, and obviously he was granted with the first pick in the draft. He had nothing to do with that.
Right.
But at 16 and 17, he picked two players a Penguin should have picked at 11 and 12, and then they just recently signed a Russian free agent who's 24 years old, and Dubas told everybody he wanted to sign young players. Now, the guy's going to be an RFA after 1 year, which means if he does great, they re-sign him. If he doesn't do as well, he at least gets a draft pick out of it, and Dubas did nothing about it. So I would have rather had
Darsh is off to a good start there, and the Islanders are going to be better than you think, I think.
Islanders, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh is years and years away from being a champion. I mean, 10 years away. So.
Well, I don't know about that. I hope it's not that far. Believe me, we've seen some, and thanks for the call, Mark. You know, they're trying to figure out, you know, this year, their free agencies used to be a time when we look forward to it all the time. I mean, big names coming in and out. This year wasn't that case. It was just a bunch of, stopgap guys while they continued to try to go through the draft and do what they have to do there. So hopefully that'll be productive for them. That's how he'll be judged ultimately. John in Gibsonia is next. He joins us here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. John, hope you're enjoying this beautiful day. What's up?
Hey, Bob. Yeah. Hey, I think Cabrian Hayes has pretty much cemented his value to the team. I think it's time to part ways with him, and there's teams out there looking for a great third baseman, and he is one. I'd pair him and Cruz together to get a nice bat, and I wouldn't look back.
Wait a minute, you get rid of Cruz too? I'm not going to do that.
You got to. The next catastrophe is just waiting to happen with that kid.
Yeah, but there's too much raw power and raw potential there. I hope they can work with him to get it to result in the kind of player. He's still going to end up with 30 stolen bases and maybe 30 home runs where he's going. So it's hard to find those kinds of talented guys. But his head has got to be in the game more. There's no question about that.
I don't see that happening. But anyway, that's my take on it. Thanks.
All right, John, thank you. So he's willing to deal O'Neill Cruz. What about Dylan and Cranberry? Dylan, who do you want the Pirates to trade, and what do you expect in return from those trades?
Well, Bob, I hate to disappoint you, but I'd like to touch on the Steelers quickly.
No, that's fine. You can do whatever you want.
I actually think they're better off getting rid of Fitzpatrick and bringing in Ramsey, number one. Jonnu Smith, I think he's a viable tight end, number two, coming off a good year. Rodgers isn't known throughout his career for loving tight ends, but I think he will target him. So I actually think, Bob, that the ceiling for them has gone from 10 games to potentially 11 or 12 games with this move. And if they go out and get another wide receiver option, I'm getting kind of tired of hearing about Roman Wilson and Calvin Austin III. Go get a legitimate number two. And I think that ceiling, Bob, could be 12, 13 games this year. I know that's crazy, but I think it can be done. Now, whether a playoff win is in question, who the heck knows? But I think one more wideout, get some chemistry going with Rodgers and the rest of the crew, and it's 12, 13 games.
Well, you're an optimistic person, Dylan. I like that. Glass half full. I mean, it could be. There are a lot of things that have to happen. There are a lot of ifs, let's put it that way. Starting with the offensive line, it has to be consistent and good to give Aaron Rodgers time to do it. I don't want to see what we saw at the end of Ben's career, which were quick, you know, two-step drops, throw the ball quickly, more out of necessity than anything else. So Yeah, if they can do that, I think he has the arm still that can engage down the field and make accurate throws. Their defense has got to be better. We don't spend enough time talking about their defense because their defense failed them last year at critical times. It has to be better given what they're paying for it. We're going to take a break. Chris in Uniontown, Rich in Forest Hills, hang on. We'll get to your calls on the flip side of this commercial break and then an update from Logan Arblaster. I'm Bob Pompiani until 1 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. And we're moving along quickly here until 1 o'clock at 412-928-9370. Join us tomorrow night, number one Cochran Sports Showdown, KDK-TV. That'll be on after the late news. And my panel tomorrow will include Chris Muller, Will Graves, and Ray Fittipaldo. Lots to get into, just as we've done here this morning into the afternoon with you. Coming up after this program is Josh Roundtree for 4 hours. And then later tonight, it's Paul Alexander with the North Shore Tavern leadoff show, followed by the game, Pirates and Mike Burrows on the mound against Luis Castillo and the Mariners game two after they lost yesterday 6-0. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Pirates respond and what they do at the trade deadline. We're getting closer and closer to that. I would expect deals to start happening in and around the All-Star break in advance of that. 412-928-9370. Back to the lines we go. Rich in Forest Hills is first in this segment. Hey, Rich, what's up?
Hey, Bob, how are you doing today?
Doing good. What's up?
Just want to disagree with a couple of your callers. Before I hang up, but first of all, I think obviously the Pirates are going to trade all expiring contracts. I don't know if you saw Tyone went out with a calf injury yesterday. He's going to be out for a month. They've had the Cubs have had some injuries in their starting pitching. You know, I'm not a big fan of trading away pitching. I'm not a huge Mitch Keller fan, but he's proven to be durable. I think if you trade the guy, you must get a significant overpay in return.
And there are a lot of teams, as you mentioned, who have injury problems right now, and they may be looking for somebody like that who's been consistent. He's been around. He has a very affordable contract to most teams.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, if I'm the GM, I say I'm not trading pitching unless, and the unless is I get a significant overpay. Mitch Keller is not going to be in the Hall of Fame, so he's not that quality of a pitcher that you just never think about trading. But you know, you get an overpay for Mitch, you trade him. Obviously, I completely disagree with your caller about the bullpen. These guys are volatile. Not just these guys, all the guys. You look around the league. As an example, Cleveland thought they had the premier closer in the AL this year, and that guy's been all over the map. Closers are notoriously – I mean, not there are very few Mario Riveras, okay? I give Ben Sherrington credit for – allowing Bednar to rebuild his value and bringing back Santana on a low value contract. That makes them, it makes it very likely that they'll get an overpay for those two. Those guys are always replaceable.
And the Pirates have done a good job doing that over the years, by the way. That's one thing they've done well.
I agree. Yeah. They found good arms for the bullpen. And then, you know, this rant, I'm not related to Dubas, but you know, this criticism of his draft thing, you know, when we look at the NFL, most of us have seen the players that are drafted in college. Nobody has seen one of these players that are drafted into the NFL.
Well, they have.
In the NHL. Who?
Dubas and his staff have. So they've made their determination.
No, I'm talking about fans.
Oh, fans. Oh, yeah, of course. No, I'll be the first to tell you that, too, other than I see videos and read. That's all I do. That's what most of us do.
Yeah, and you're seeing selected videos. I can make a video stream of any player that's going to make them look like he should be 1-1. But this Shabanov, I think is his name, that the Islanders got. First of all, there were like 7 or 8 teams that are looking for this guy. Do you know this guy's height and weight?
No.
He's 5'8", he weighs 150 pounds. Okay, so all these Penguin fans that are complaining that we should have signed this guy like we should have signed everybody, that are complaining that this team's too small and too easy to play against, they either don't know these stats or they're misinformed. You know, the Penguins, unlike the Islanders, when's the last time the Islanders won a Stanley Cup?
Well, you got to go all the way back to their heyday.
They're in line before the Penguins. You know, the Penguins are more recent Stanley Cup champions. Okay, they mortgaged the future significantly. They had a very bad GM in there in Ron Hextall. So, I mean, I think Dubas deserves a little bit of time and patience in terms of unwinding all this stuff. And I'd love to hear these same fans that are complaining about who we took at 11 and 12. You know, come back on the air 3 or 4 years from now,
You know, the teams that drafted 13, 14, 15 also passed on the two Islanders draft choices.
Sure. No, so, and I'm not gonna say 5'8", 150 can't work. There have been smaller guys in the NHL with speed. And, you know, I look at Connor Bedard. He's not exactly big, but he was valued. So I'm not going to rule that out, but I do understand what you're saying. And I think, you know, this is a high-stakes game here. They're trying to figure out guys who, you know, really are young and whether or not they'll be able to be in a position. I think Dubas's problem was right off the bat, he was trying to win with what they had. And so they, instead of maybe allocating some money, lesser money, for guys like Ryan Graves, who has not been worth it, they doubled down on, you know, Tristan Jarry. They did a lot of things that they didn't need to do. And Carlson, even though that was a big talk and everybody seemed to like it, including Mike Sullivan and everybody else there, it just hasn't worked out. They had too much of the same thing. They needed a difference on defense. And I think, you know, that's one of the guys. There's a guy next year in free agency, Rasmus Anderson, who may be available. Calgary, I think, will probably want to move on from him. He's one of the top – I don't know what he is. I think he's late 20s, but, you know, he's a top defender. They need guys like that to complement some of the skaters they have there. Let's go to Chris in Uniontown. Thanks for the call, by the way. Chris, what's going on?
Hey, Bob, what's going on? Mitch Keller, if they trade Mitch Keller, I want a top-notch first baseman that plays that position. We ain't had a good first baseman in years.
You don't like Spencer Horwitz for now?
I really didn't watch him. I'm talking about I really don't watch him. Plus, Bob, the Pirates ain't never going to win. They got the Barry Bonds curse. You know what I mean? They ain't won since Barry Bonds. You know what I mean? They gave Andy Van Slyke all that money, and Andy Van Slyke couldn't hold Barry Bonds' jockstrap.
Well, I mean, it was a case of, you know, they had a chance to, and they should have signed Barry Bonds. In fact, I remember there was a contract there for 30 years they were considering offering him, but it was so low. He was going to get the money he got, and it wasn't going to be around here, so... he wanted to be in San Francisco anywhere. That's where his godfather and his father. They haven't won a playoff series since 1979, Chris. So you're right. I mean, they haven't done it, but it preceded even Barry Bonds being there. So
Don't trade Mitch Keller.
Well, you got to trade somebody. Who are you going to trade? Because you can't stand pat with this.
I'll trade Bubba Chandler. We don't know what he's going
to
be.
How about if he turns out to be the next thing?
Mitch Keller leaves the Pirates. I'm bet you this, Bob. I'm going to call you back. He's going to win a Cy Young.
No, he won't win a Cy Young. He's a very good pitcher. He's not a Cy Young pitcher. He's a very good pitcher, guy, especially in the middle of a rotation.
He must have been good. They gave him all that money, Bob.
It wasn't all that money. It was affordable. It was the market at the time. If you told a team right now you could have Mitch Keller for the next 3 years at roughly $17 million a year, they'll all jump on it because it's a good contract. It wasn't all that money. It's what needed to be done if you're Bob Nutting. And that's the thing. We rarely have seen it where they – with Skeens, he's going to go in arbitration. I can't even imagine what the number would be in arbitration, which will come after next season. Well, how much money will he command in arbitration? That's where things are going to get dicey with him.
I don't know, Bob. I'm just confused about it. They always latch on to this one player, sell a bunch of jerseys, talk about he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, and they never win. They always got one or two players that's okay.
Well, again, that comes to evaluation. When you make trades, you better get in that, and that's going to be the challenge for Ben Cherington. What he trades, he better get the proper return. And if he doesn't, that'll probably seal his fate as general manager of the Pirates moving forward.
I would never let Ben Cherington trade nothing. He can't.
Well, but he's in position to do it now. They're going to do something. They have to. They need bats.
I don't know, Bob. I don't know. Maybe we need Bill Madlock back.
I like Bill Madlock. He was. I love talking to him. I love what he brought to the. I mean, he was the one bat they needed. They got him. Bat him six back in the 1970s. They won world championships. A four-time batting champ. One of my favorites. All right, man. Chris, hopefully we'll see. Call back when he's traded and tell me what you think of the return because I think that's going to probably happen.
All right, man.
All right, man. Take care. 412-928-9370. So we've had a lot of pro Mitch Keller calls. Keep him. He has 3 years left. There's a lot to said for that. I like the fact that you know what his salary is for 3 years. Brian Reynolds has 5 years left. Those two you can certainly build around, but the problem is they're also the key trade pieces potentially that they need to move on from to get what they need, which is in short supply. and that is consistent hitting at a lot of places. Now, Nick Gonzalez has played and especially hit the ball well. His throw yesterday bothered me, and so did the lack of catch by Spencer Horwitz. That was awful, and I think that changed the way they pitched to Cal Raleigh. I wouldn't want to pitch to Cal Raleigh right now. Logan, he's as hot as any hitter, and because there was a guy on base, I think, you know, Bailey Falter got into a position where he felt he had to do something to him that I wouldn't have done. I still wouldn't have pitched to him. I wouldn't have given him anything good to hit.
If that error doesn't happen from Nick Gonzalez and there's not a guy on first, you're pitching around Cal Raleigh. There's no doubt about it. And Joey Bart, you also have to call into question, because not only in the first at bat did he call a few fastballs down and into Cal, he also did in the second at bat or the next at bat that Cal Raleigh was up. So I think the pitch selection, the pitch calling from Joey Bart wasn't all that great. It was disappointing, actually, to be honest, and they certainly would have pitched around him if that error didn't happen.
I would pitch around him even with someone on base. I'm sorry. He's the one guy I don't want to beat me. And also, Joey Bart had the bases loaded, too, with 3-2 count. You need hits in those situations. He hasn't done much. He has one home run this year. We talk a lot about guys who are not supplying power. Joey Bart has been an offensive failure this year.
He has been, and he's only hitting around 200 versus righties, 300 against lefties, but yesterday was against a right-handed pitcher that he was in the lineup for. I get they started Henry Davis in an afternoon game after catching the night before in a night game, but he had the day off yesterday. Joey Bart is going to have to play at some point. I just think when Bart's in the lineup there against a right-handed pitcher, it's never a great situation for the lineup.
Yeah. You're right. We'll see. They got to respond tonight with Mike Burrows on the hill. We're going to take a break here, come back with more till the top of the hour, and then Josh Rountree will be in this seat. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. It's the Bob Pompiani Show on a beautiful Saturday in Pittsburgh. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Temperatures today in the 90s. Stay hydrated out there. Also, mid-90s expected on Sunday and Monday. At the top of the hour, Josh Rountree will take over for 4 hours. It's a big shift today. Josh is also here talking with me right now as he wears his U.S. Open 2025 Oakmont hat. And if you know Josh,
they sold a few of these out there from what I hear.
I heard the numbers, millions of dollars $28 million I heard total in merchandise sales.
I've heard that the Masters brings in like $150 million in merchandise sales.
Have you ever been down there?
No.
Okay. Well, what you'll see down there during that tournament week, it's like an endless line of people just standing. And if you go to the Steeler game on Sunday, you'll see down in their pro shop people in line and moves pretty quickly. There, I mean, it's like going through customs at an airport, only 10 times worse.
Oh.
You know, you have to stand in line and the prices are insane and people buy them.
Oh, yeah. And then they resell them.
And they do whatever they have to do, right? Well, I want to ask you about maybe reselling some of the pirate people they have here. We're going to talk about the trade deadline coming up, and I know that's a big topic this time of year and should be. So I've had more people today tell me they would not trade Mitch Keller. They'd keep him. How do you feel about Mitch Keller?
Yeah, I'm kind of I feel like they should keep him because, well, there's a couple of reasons. Namely, I think to get a guy under control that's established, that's solid, that you know is going to give you maybe not overly spectacular production, but very, very solid production at the price tag that he is playing with right now, I think that's a commodity that you can't take for granted.
It's also a commodity that teams want.
Right.
It may be willing to pay for it.
Certainly is. I mean, look, if there's an offer that absolutely blows your socks off, then, I mean, you have to entertain it, right? But I look at that as he's under control. You finally paid a pitcher big money here, and then you're going to go get rid of him like a year and a half after you give him that money. I mean, that's a tough pill, I think, to swallow in a year that's kind of, I mean, it's been a tough one for the fan base as it is with a lot of other things that have gone on. But I look at it as unless you get an insane offer, then I would keep him. The other part, Bob, and to be totally honest, I just don't trust the guy pulling the trigger on the trade. If it's the little things, if it's the Andrew Heaney trades, the Dennis Santanas, things like that, okay, you know, those aren't going to net you major, major return like this trade would. I don't trust the scouting analysis. I don't trust the development of this group right now to bring in guys and push them up quickly. I just don't trust the Ben Cherington-led regime right now to go out and make a deal of that magnitude that is going to have to probably take years, a few years to come to fruition on its actual value to the organization. So that's my biggest reason, honestly, why I wouldn't make a move on him.
So let's say they feel a little bit that way. Let's say they may not be willing to do what he may want to do. I mean, that says a lot about where he should be at the end of the season,
yeah,
right?
Because
it's been 6 years of waiting for this kind of thing. But I do understand that sentiment. You have a guy tied up. You want him. And if you put him with Skeens, Jones when he comes back, if Chandler is what we think he is, those four pitchers alone, and whoever's your fifth.
I mean, Oviedo's coming back. If he gets back to where he was.
There are a lot
of
potential talent. And all you then need are a couple of more bats, and you can get those in free agency if you want to do it that way.
They've been unbelievable pitching the baseball in the last month. I mean, they have been arguably the best team in baseball on the mound in the last month. They lead baseball over the last 30 days in ERA.
Yep.
And that kind of makes the season that much more frustrating, right?
Because they knew that going in.
You could argue right now that they have, from a pitching standpoint, a championship caliber team, given where they are right now. I mean, they are essentially top five this season in almost all pitching categories. And their bullpen, their starters, they're all in that area.
Yep.
And they have so terribly failed this team from an offensive standpoint that it almost makes it that much more frustrating, because it's not like this season's just a complete and total utter failure, because you can look at it and say, all right, half of the equation's there, but the other half is so bad.
And that's the hardest half to get, I think, to get that kind of pitching.
Yeah.
Especially on one staff.
Right.
And they have it. And so now it's a question of what they do with it. And if it will be interesting to see coming up. And I know a lot of teams out there have injured pitchers and would like to have a Mitch Keller, or for that matter, Bailey Falter, who also has years of control. I'm less interested in keeping him around if I got the right offer for him.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's a guy that I don't know. Maybe it's just a name recognition thing for me, because Falter's been really, really solid this year. I mean, his ERA is under 4. But to me, I look at him as a guy that's more expendable than a Mitch Keller. And maybe that's just a name recognition thing. But I don't know. I felt like, you go back a couple years ago, right? Bob Nutting sat there, the opening day when they signed, I think it was Hayes. And he said, we're putting a flag in the ground right now. We're going to keep our guys. We're going to pay them. The guys that we grow, that we develop here, we're going to make sure that they stay Pittsburgh Pirates. And realistically, like, they did do that with Hayes and Reynolds and Keller. And then you go a year and a half later and you trade one of those guys, the largest pitching contract that you've ever given up. To me, I view it more from like the fan side of things, where I look at that as you're going back on your word on what you said that you wanted to be. Falter's a guy that you got in a deal. If you end up moving him and you get something more out of him, well, those are like interchangeable pieces.
Right.
That's not a guy that you figured out that you developed here. That's an actual success story, no matter how it got there, maybe him going other places to get that success started. But no matter what, it's a success story within your development, within your organization. Then you go and trade him. I mean, then what do you have to hang your hat
on?
But
also, based on that comment he made about planting your flag, what do you do with Paul Skeens then? If you're really true to your word that you're going to keep your own, I don't care what the price is. You know, you shouldn't if you're in Major League Baseball.
That's an expensive flag, Bob.
Okay, it's an expensive flag, but are you in this business to win or not? And you have that guy.
Yeah. Well, I don't. I mean,
they'd have to go through years of arbitration to even get to the point where.
Yeah. But I thought one of the dumbest conversations we've had here in Pittsburgh sports in the last several years was trading Paul Skeens this year. When that got thrown out there, I'm thinking, like, why? I mean, you can get guys in and rebuild, but you finally have a guy that people are legitimately thrilled to have, you're excited to have. It's the most excited I think the fan base has been over something involving this team since 2015. And then the talk is, well, you get that tiny little sample size of them. I mean, we weren't even a year into Paul Skeens, and people were starting to talk about, well, what could the return be to trade him? I agree with you. Like, if you want to send a statement, offer the guy what he would get on the open market and see if he takes it. He might not take it. I mean, he might bank on himself and say, I can get, you know, the biggest deal ever, which arguably he probably could, and he might bet on himself, and I wouldn't blame him for that. But, yeah, I mean, if you want to say that you're in this to win and you're in this – for the right reasons, part of that has to come back to keeping a guy like that, a superstar talent around here.
Superstar stat with another one potentially on the way, and Bubba Chandler. These are guys that they've brought here. Now let's see what they can do, and I'd love to see them all play together. Do you think you would ever see Skeens, Chandler, and let's say Connor Griffin playing together?
Griffin's probably a little ways away.
He shouldn't be, though, based on what he's done. I don't know how fast he's – but if he keeps chewing up where he goes –
But why what's the incentive of pushing a guy like that, rushing a guy like that?
Because you have Paul Skeens? Because you have a pitching staff that we just described as really good and they need bats.
I look at that, though. I don't know. Maybe it's the Henry Davis fear that I have. If you have this guy that's raking in the minors and you bring him up here and then all of a sudden, like Henry Davis had the fewest amount of minor league at-bats of any first overall pick in like 50 years. And I thought he clearly looked overwhelmed.
And you think that scarred him a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And I wonder, and it scarred me, to be honest, because now I look at a guy like Griffin and I'm like, well, is it worthwhile rushing a guy like that through the system? Yeah, you need him. You need somebody like that. But is it worth repeating history here with what we saw with Henry Davis if they rush him through and he doesn't get the necessary at bats? And who knows what that number is? It's different for everybody, but
well, Key Brian Hayes had a lot of minor league at bats, and it doesn't worked up here for him.
Yeah,
either. So well, yeah. I mean, you can go the other way on that too. This guy looks like just a special breed of athlete.
Yeah,
and if he is that special, and if he's rated that highly, I think it's on him. If he goes to Altoona here later this year, and then next year he goes from Altoona to AAA, and he's I don't know.
Don't I exemplify the Pirate fan though? Because in one sense, I'm like, boy, I just really want them to be aggressive and do this. But in the other sense, I'm terrified of what might happen if they actually do.
That's what happens.
Like, these are the 30-plus year scars that the organization, I think, has left on a lot of its fan base, where you really want them to do something, but you've seen the horror stories before that have happened with this franchise making moves that you want, like Chris Archer. Like, you want them to make the...
I mean, it goes back to when he made that first deal that he had Claypool to Chicago for a second-round pick. That said a lot about him, I think.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave. Welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.